In his new book, The Internet of Us, Michael Patrick Lynch ponders the depth of which information technology affects what we know and how we know it. The book reposes Bertrand Russell's contention, greater knowledge doesn't always bring with it greater understanding. Michael Patrick Lynch is a writer and professor of philosophy at the University of Connecticut, where he directs the Humanities Institute. Lynch's mission in the book is to show readers the many philosophical reasons understanding is so important, for it not only gets at the why, but also brings with it the which, as in which follow-up questions to ask. The name of the book, The Internet of Us, Knowing More and Understanding Less in the Age of Big Data, and we welcome Michael Patrick Lynch to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. Very nice to have you with us.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Very nice to have you with us. So how did you come to this idea? And looking at the contention of Bertrand Russell, greater knowledge doesn't always bring with it greater understanding.
That's right. And that's very much the launching pad for the idea of the book. I mean, to put it in context, look, we often hear that we live in a knowledge economy and that we're experiencing something of a knowledge revolution. We talk about knowledge workers, and there's a lot of sense to that. I mean, knowledge and our ability to make it, transfer it, consume it faster than ever before is what's driving much of the economy and the big data revolution we hear so much about. And in one sense, that's because we can know more than ever before. But, you know, the question that really motivated this investigation and this sort of line of thought that I've had is, or two questions, is what sort of knowledge are we producing with our devices and with our ways of accessing information now, and what sort of knowledge are we consuming? These are the questions I think we should be asking. We need to be asking not just about how to get more information, but the quality of the information that we're getting and the ways that we're getting it and how those two things can affect each other.
Is it looking at it really two ways, of the information that we get and the information that, quote-unquote, they get?
Well, I think you've hit upon something that I think is really salient to all of us living in the massive data sphere that we live in now. We often say to each other when we're talking about politics or other divisive issues, look, people will say on both the left and the right, they'll say, look, the information is right there. The facts are there. People are just not paying attention to the facts. Google it. And we like to cite our own sources, our own posts, and so forth and so on. One of the things that's often commented on, of course, is that we live in some information bubbles. Those of us on the left consult certain sorts of sources, certain sorts of news sources and blogs and so forth, and those on the right consult other ones. And what often happens is we take ourselves to be accessing just the straightforward objective facts, but because we don't have these information bubbles don't actually overlap all that much, we can become overconfident that our view is representing the reality out there. We can think that our view of what Hillary Clinton is doing or saying or what happened in Benghazi or what have you is the actual fact, when actually what we're doing is just passing along information we received inside our own bubble.
We don't take the next step to look into it, to question it, and to really to debate it internally and also to investigate it.
Yes, and of course, people have, for ever since there have been people, right, have fallen into sort of lazy thinking and passive acquisition of knowledge. That's just part of how we're hardwired as human beings. What's changing, I think, is the fact that the mere fact that we have so much information at our fingertips that's so easily accessible can sometimes, bizarrely enough, convince us that we don't have to look very hard at that information. You would think the fact that we have so much more information would allow us and encourage us to actually do more serious inquiry, looking into the sources of the things that we share online. But in fact, the reverse seems to be the case. We seem to think that, well, okay, that person wouldn't have said this thing if it wasn't true, because after all, it would be so easy to figure out whether it's true. We just have to Google it. So the fact that we are acquiring information so quickly and so readily from so many devices all the time can actually lead to a sort of overconfidence about our own opinions.
Michael Patrick Lynch is a writer and professor of philosophy at the University of Connecticut, where he directs the Humanities Institute, and the name of the new book is The Internet of Us. So let's talk about the philosophical elements here and looking at the great philosophers and how you mix that into the equation.
Right. Well, you already mentioned Russell, and one of the things that Bertrand Russell, philosopher of the last century and one of the greatest philosophers of that century, one of the things he warned people about in the 1950s, and he was thinking of nuclear technology at that time, was that he in a famous piece in the Saturday Evening Post, he said, look, the thing about technology is it's in itself is not good or bad, but what it allows us to do both good things and bad things, and we need to pay attention to it and how it's changing our ability to act in the world before that technology, as it were, takes us over and we forget that we even are different than we were before. So one way of thinking about that, to step outside of the for a minute outside of information technology, think about the fact that cars, right, that technology, cars are great. They get us where we want to go really in a fast and convenient way. And I like my car, but of course we've also know that, you know, it would have been nice perhaps if earlier on than, let's say, now, we had started to pay attention to the consequences that using cars so much actually has on the environment and on our, how we structure our society. So I think this is a theme. The theme that technology can become part of our life is something that we see philosophers from Aristotle, Russell, Heidegger speaking about. And I think those warnings are salient and important to us right now.
When you think of those warnings, and just bringing up the subtitle again of knowing more and understanding less in the age of big data, so we have it available to us, but you can drive yourself crazy knowing more about everything, right?
That's right. Of course you can. I mean, you can certainly, it's impossible for any of us to, of course, check up on everything that we run across, and certainly no one, nor any of the other philosophers I was just mentioning, would think that we should do that. On the other hand, we shouldn't overlook the fact that there are different ways of knowing. One way of knowing that is very common today is what I call in the book Google knowing. Now, Google knowing is not just knowing by search, but by web search, but actually it's my way of talking about how we know through our digital interfaces, through how we acquire information from the watches that are on our wrists now to the digital thermostat that is nested in our home and controlling the swings of temperature in our house. Google knowing has given us more knowledge. There's no doubt about it. That's what we were just talking about. But it's also a fairly passive way of receiving information. And what we need to do is not think that that's the only way of acquiring information. And many of us, of course, do know this. We know that we need to engage in reflection. We need to inquire responsibly in the way that we were talking about a minute ago. But we also need to realize that there's a different type of understanding, a type of understanding that I think is often the sort of different sort of knowledge, rather, the sort of knowledge that we are looking for when we, let's say, read great books or go to college, for example, is understanding, and it's what I call understanding. And understanding is a more creative, complex form of knowing, where you're grasping how things fit together, what depends on that, on what. You're not just memorizing a list of facts, you're actually seeing how those facts relate to each other and which ones are more important or more basic than the others. That's the sort of creative synthesis type of knowing that I think the internet gives us more of a basis for engaging in that sort of understanding, but it's not the sort of knowing that we do through our digital devices is not the same thing as understanding. That requires creative individual effort.
You write about Russell, Plato, Socrates, all of these wise, wise thinkers. You also write about the NBC TV dramedy Chuck. I am hoping that you will, because it's a great illustration, and I'm hoping that you can share with us why that idea of that television show that was one of my favorites, in Chuck, is important for us to keep in mind.
Right. So for those of your listeners who might not know the great classics like Chuck.
hard to believe, but sure.
Right, hard to believe. Chuck, in the show, the main character is, in a sense, I'm just going to simplify, hooked up to a sort of digital machine that gives Chuck both greater knowledge about how to be a super spy, but also eventually gives him greater ability, so the ability to, let's say, do all sorts of fancy martial arts. So it turns him in by plugging him in into this this sort of souped-up internet. He's able to acquire both more knowledge and more abilities. Now, what's interesting about that is, I think it's clear to me that, and all of us, that as we were just saying, that in our old sort of more literal sense, in which we're all plugged into the internet, we are increasing knowledge of the sort I call Google knowing. But what Chuck, the thing that's hard to suspend belief about with regard to Chuck is the fact that he's actually also acquiring new know-how that way. Because knowing how to, let's say, do these super spy things and engage in super martial arts and so forth, the expertise that we acquire in order to do various things, whether it's interview people on the radio or engage in highfalutin martial arts hijinks, that expertise is something that we actually have to craft and learn by experience. And one of the things that I think the internet is, and I think a lot of people, this resonates with a lot of people, I hope, that, you know, spending all our time in front of screens and acquiring information that way can blind us to the importance of getting out in the world and interacting and practicing things, whether those things are, as I said, physical activities or actually the focus of my book, mental activities, practicing the sort of reflective discussions that we need to be able to engage in order to ultimately acquire the sort of deeper understanding.
You point out in the book this paradox of our digital form of life seems to both expand and inhibit our knowledge simultaneously. So are we going to come to a point where we are able to balance that?
I hope so. I think we can. I think that many of us do on a small day-to-day level all the time. For moments, we're able to balance these things. I think the bigger question is whether society as a whole is ready for the changes that we're going through in terms of knowledge. Again, why is knowledge so important in this context? Because knowledge is the key to how our economy and our society is increasingly being structured. It's an abstract idea, but it's the one that is increasingly important in our life now. And I think that what we need to do is realize that, well, let me put an example on this, a particular point on it. Think about the utility. I'm a college professor. One of the things that really got me going in thinking about this book is, look, once we have not just Google Glass, but, you know, Google is working on Google Contact. It's well away from absolutely hitting the market, but they are working on it quite a bit, investing quite a lot of money into it. When we actually get to the point where we're able to acquire information online via this very intimate relationship, let's say through a contact, or perhaps as Google CEO Larry Page once said recently, they'd love to have an implant that we put in our brains that would allow us to hook up just mentally to the internet. Now, that's science fiction right now. But once we get to that point, which may not seem as far off as now as it would have, let's say, even 10 years ago, what's the utility of, let's say, going to college? We have all the information, so we might think. What is it that we're getting out of the sort of more reflective ways of learning that we can't get via Larry Page's imagined implant? That's the sort of question we need to address in order to achieve this balance that you were talking about.
Because we still have to reconcile the fact that We can have the knowledge, but we do have to understand it.
Exactly. Exactly. Understanding is the ultimate goal here. And we also need to realize that, as we were talking about right in the beginning of the show, the fact that we have more information all by itself doesn't mean that the information is accurate.
Mm.
And that's something that we all of us tell each other all the time. We say, don't trust everything that you read on the internet. And yet it's our go-to source. It's our default. Any question of fact comes up at a dinner party or a bar or a meeting, you know how it is. Everybody suddenly races to their smartphone to check whether what the person said was correct or not. I do that too. But that just shows that we're in this already in this increasingly intimate relationship with the technology. We treat it as if it was our go-to source, our default trust source. So if you think about, we used to say that seeing is believing, now Googling is believing. Well, in some sense, we need to be able to balance that increasing fact that we rely on this technology with the need to have accurate information and to understand that information.
The name of the book is The Internet of Us, Knowing More and Understanding Less in the Age of Big Data. Michael Patrick Lynch, I thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book is The Internet of Us. The book is published by LiveRight. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.